We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Kuf Lamed Zayin, the 8th chapter of the Shara Iran. The Magen Midovna had been discussing that balance is a requirement in all of life, and we have to realize that when it comes to mitzvot, balance is critical. It is crucial. And in the area of mitzvot as well, there is the potential for the Yetzer Hara to take control, and a person takes the mitzvot out of balance, and then the mitzvah, instead of being something positive, can become something negative. So what are the boundaries, what are the rules of the performance of mitzvos? Some of them are expressed, are explicit in the written law. And some are given over in the oral law. And some are contingent on your intelligence, on a person's own understanding how to apply the mitzvah. As our sages gave a rule about this, and they said, "Le'olam yehi adam arum de'ira." A person should always have cunning when it comes to being a God-fearing person. You've got to use your own intellect. How should I perform the mitzvah? It's not enough to say, well, I'll perform the mitzvah. You have to figure out how to do it. Let's take a simple example. There was once a guy here who used to come to shul, and it seemed like he couldn't talk. It seemed like he didn't understand too much. And people used to walk by him as they left shul and put money in his pocket. So there was a young man who came to shul. He was new. He saw people doing this. So he walked over, and as he walked out, he tried to give the guy money. And the guy didn't respond. So he thought, okay, there's something wrong with him. Maybe I'll put it in his pocket like everyone else does. So he went to put it in his pocket. And what happened next, I wouldn't have believed if I wasn't standing there myself. This man who was standing there like a deaf mute looked at the guy, socked him in the throat, socked him in the eye, and before the guy knew what hit him, socked him in the stomach. 1, 2, 3, knockout. And before anyone could understand what was going on, the young man was lying on the floor. 3 punches and he's out. So, and the guy came after him. So at first, what? He tried to give the guy charity. And the guy beat him up.
Where was this again?
Here. Shul right here. The guy doesn't come here anymore, but whatever. So at first glance, you look at the scene and you say, what's wrong? You know, there's something wrong with the guy. He's trying to help him. He's punching him, beating him up. And that's a true perspective. But there's another perspective. What was the guy who was beating him up thinking? How come he didn't beat up anyone else? So the guy who was beating him up was thinking, hey, bad enough the people in my own community have to support me. There's this newcomer, this young schnook, he's going to walk in here and he's going to treat me like that, just stuck money in my pocket. I'm not saying he was right in what he did. I'm just saying sometimes we have to think also what's the other guy thinking. So you might say, well, what was he supposed to do? I'm not saying the guy did wrong by trying to give him charity. But sometimes we have to think for a minute, what's going on in the other person's head? Again, I'm not saying he's right in beating up the guy. The guy was just trying to help him, and he took note. He saw what other people were doing, but it taught me a lesson. I, who saw the story, said to myself, okay, so I'm never going to put any money in his pocket. I'm not going to risk getting beaten up over it, and maybe he'll get offended by it. And it also taught me a lesson that when you come to a place and you're new and you're not sure what people's sensitivities are, let's hold off on doing things that can slightly step on their toes. You'll say he meant well. I agree he meant well, but that's not good enough. You'll say that doesn't justify the guy beating him up. That's true. Doesn't justify the guy beating him up, but we can still learn something from it. There's a certain sensitivity that we have to learn from scenarios. The guy reacted to something. Say he's cuckoo, so that the guy had no right to beat him up. Granted, I agree. I'm not coming to justify what he did. But I'll never forget standing there and seeing in a split second how he throws him 3 punches and knocks the guy to the floor and taught me a lesson. So
you were there.
What?
You were there.
I was there. I didn't know what hit me either. You know, you're not ready for that type of reaction. But it taught me something. It taught me a new... No, it seemed like a little guy, you know, shorter than me. You know, whatever. But when you're not ready to get knocked, you know, when you're not getting ready to get punched, you know, and his first punch was to the guy's throat. Throat, face, stomach. Boom, and the guy's down on the floor. Okay, I remember it like today. I was standing right there. Okay, so it taught me something. It taught me something about sensitivity. A sensitivity that I wouldn't have thought of earlier. So the parameters of doing chesed, Chazal say, Lo'olam yadam arum bi'ira. Even when it comes to being a God-fearing person, you have to use cunning. Because when it comes to the details of the mitzvos, so that's something that's very, very high up there. It's very complicated. Chazal tell us a line which really deserves a whole series in its own, and that is that when you do even a sin with the right intent, that can be so great, it could be even greater than a mitzvah. So obviously that can't be just thrown out there. That needs work. We have to understand when you say such a thing. But we also have to understand the underlying theme that Chazal told us, that a major part of the performance of the mitzvah is the understanding of the human being, knowing how to perform it, and how to perform it intelligently, and how to perform it, as the Magid Midubne has been stressing, within the parameters of what the Torah wanted, within a balanced system. I'll give you one more example as we end. A guy came to me the other day. He said, I've been keeping Torah and mitzvahs for 6 months, and I'd like to quit college and go to Machon Meir. So after a short conversation, I told him I vote against it. So he said, why? I said, balance. What we're learning now is balance. You've just discovered Judaism. 6 months. You don't make such a quick and rash decision to chuck all your college education out the window and not go to finish your degree. I recommend you take a year off and come study. If you can defer by a year, then you'll know more what you're talking about. I recommend, if you can't do a year, take a semester off. I recommend you find a way to balance your Torah and your college studies. But if you think that it's right that after 6 months you've just discovered Judaism, you're going to make such a decision, throw everything out to the wind and just come to Machon Meir, I don't think that's a good way to go. You have to know that there are fluctuations in a person's feelings, and growth has to be incremental. And so I think that's the concept the Magen Midubne is telling us. We have to work things in a balanced way. Yes, we have an ultimate goal to keep all 613 mitzvot as best as we can, but we have to know how to do it in a balanced fashion. And this is an area which is very, very difficult for Chozrim B'Tshuva, because they're always trying to do everything perfect. And if you don't have a perspective on, okay, what does the Torah want me to do here? So sometimes, it's hard to gauge what's within a balanced system. And that's why my recommendation is that you guys have a Rebbe who you can consult with. And whenever something seems a little, maybe a little too strenuous or a little bit far out, talk to your Rebbe. And if not a Rebbe, then at least the family that's been at it for a very, very, very long time, who could help you see the perspective of what's the norm.